And so Kinelach, Avram, and his shepherds kept very careful Torah mitzvahs, and Lot and his shepherds didn't. And Avram sent his shepherds to Lot and to his shepherds and said, look, be careful not to steal. There's plenty of grass and fields that nobody owns. And be careful not to make trouble for people. Now, instead of listening, Lot's shepherds started big fights. And they started to fight Avram's shepherds. And there were fights every day. And Avram saw that it's not good for him and Lot to live together because there's fights every day. And there's not enough room for all their animals. And Lot, instead of finding another field, will let his animals go into people's yards. So Avram decided he's going to separate from Lot. Lot will go one way, and Avram will go another way. And so Avram says to Lot, look, here is Eretz Canaan. You choose wherever you want to go. And wherever you want to go, you go there, and I'll go a different way. You choose first. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and he looked around to see what's over there. And there was different kind of places over there. There were farms where people work hard. Nah, Lot says, not for me, I don't like to work so hard. And there were places where there were schools people like to learn. No, not for me. And there was a place called Sodom, a very schlechte city. Over there, everybody was very rich, and the whole day they're just having parties, eating and drinking, and speaking Lashon Hara, and doing Avedis. And this is Sodom, the worst place in the whole world. Oh, Lot says, look at Sodom, this is a good place. People have parties, and they spend money on buying all kinds of good stuff, and they're eating and drinking and telling jokes the whole time and laughing, and nobody works over there too much because they're all very rich, and there's good shopping over there and lots of restaurants, and good fun stuff over there. That's where I'm going to go, to Sodom. And Lot says, okay, everybody on my side, to Sodom. And Avram says, Lot, don't you understand what kind of a place is Sodom? This is a place that is completely the worst place in the world. Do you know what kind of laws they have in Sodom? First of all, they say, no one is allowed to give tzedakah. You're not allowed to share even. Everything is only for yourself. You're not allowed to share your food with anybody. You're not allowed to share money with anybody. If a poor person comes to Sodom, they never give him to eat. In fact, they be mean to him. They do all kinds of other tricks, which I'll tell you next week. I don't have time today to tell you about Sodom. And Lot says, oh, I don't care. I'm going there anyway. Avram says, nobody learns, nobody davens. All of a sudden, Lot, kinelach, he took off his yarmulke. He took off his tzitzis. He took away his siddur and his sfarim, and he put it down, and he says, I don't need these anymore when I go to Sodom. Over in Sodom, all I need is one thing, money. And I got plenty of money. I don't need no yarmulke, no tzitzis. Because anyway, I'm going to go into the treifa restaurants, and I don't need anything. I won't have time to learn. I'll be busy at parties. I'll be busy having fun and shopping and eating and drinking and telling jokes. No time for learning and davening. And Lot kinelach went to Sodom. And Avram kinelach is worried about Lot because he knows he's going to get in big trouble. The money went to his head and made him nuts. There's certain things that go to a person's head and make him nuts. One of them is mashke. And if a person didn't get nuts yet, so he has more mashke, he'll become nuts. Another thing is money. A person sometimes has too much money, it makes him forget about Hashem, chas v'shalom, and it can make him go away from Hashem. Now we're going to see also that Avram had a lot of money. Do you know what Avram is going to do with his money? He's going to use it to come closer to Hashem. He's going to use it to bring other people closer to Hashem. Light and his money took him farther away from Hashem. He just used it for taivis and for fun. Now, there's nothing wrong with fun if it's simcha shel mitzvah and it brings you closer to Hashem. Ivdu as Hashem be simcha. You have to be happy, but not a kind of a happiness that will take you against Hashem, chas v'shalom. Another thing they were not allowed to have in Stoyim is hachnasas orachim. No guests. Only your own family and friends. You're not allowed to invite anybody else. That means you're sharing with them. And anybody who was caught helping people was punished, as we'll see next week in Parshas Vayera, all the stories that happened in Stoyim. And Avram was worried, and he lived now in the mountains close by the Stoyim, because he knew that something could happen to Lot, and he can get in trouble. During this time, Kendalach, I'm just going to start the story. During this time, Avram was going around teaching more and more people about Hashem, doing Mitzrayim. And more people were throwing getchkes in the garbage cans. And more people were believing in Hashem. One day, there was a king who was the greatest king of that time, and his name was Kedar La'omer. Kedar La'omer was the greatest king of that time, and Nimrod was still alive. He had a different name, and the name of Nimrod in this parsha is Amraphel. He was also a great king, but since Kedar La'omer killed Nimrod's son in a war, Nimrod did not become as great of a king as before. And in fact, Kedar La'omer would boss around Nimrod, and Nimrod had to listen to Kedar La'omer. And there was other kings at that time. Altogether, the four great kings. There was Kedar La'omer. There was Nimrod, who was Amraphel. There was Sid'al and Aryeich. These four kings. And one time, Kedar La'omer called the four kings to an emergency meeting. And Kedar La'omer says to them, I've called this meeting because I'm very upset about something. I'm upset that there's a troublemaker in the world, and we have to get rid of him. And you know who the troublemaker is? And Nimrod says, I bet you I know who it is. His name is Avram, right? Avram the Jew. And Kedar La'omer says, how did you know? And Nimrod says, he used to live in my city. I know what he does. I know what's upsetting you. Kedar La'omer says, I'll tell you what's upsetting me. I take a walk through the city, and I used to be so proud of my city with all the beautiful buildings and palaces and all the homes and nice. And now whenever I take a walk in the city, I come back upset because I see in the garbage cans, it's my getchkes. My getchkes, my pictures in the garbage can with mushy bananas and tomatoes all over it. And I ask people, what am I doing in your garbage can? And they say, we don't believe in getchkes anymore. We believe in Hashem. And I say, who is teaching you these narishkeit? And they say, Avram. And I ask a kid, show me a little getchkela of me, because every kid is supposed to have a little getchkela of Kedar La'omer in his pocket. Show me the little getchkela. And the little kid says, oh, I threw it in the garbage. Here's a picture of a tzaddik. You see a tzaddik? Like Avram? What? Even little kids? This is too much. I can't stand this. This Avram's got to go. And Nimrod says, well, I tried to get rid of Avram a long time ago, but he sneaked away. He ran away from me and I couldn't get him. And Sidon and Aryeich also say, yes, yes, this is very upsetting. This also happened to us, that people talk about Avram. We're very jealous. Let's kill him. And Nimrod says, we can't just do that, because if we just go kill him, then nobody will like us anymore, because everybody likes Avram. They'll get angry at us. We have to figure out a tricky, tricky way to kill Avram that nobody will really be upset us at if we kill him. And so Kedar La'omer says, I have a very good idea. It's so smart. Yeah. And it's so tricky. And nobody will figure it out. I'll look like a real tzaddik. And at the same time, I'll kill Avram. Yeah. There are five kings living in a place called Kikar HaYarden. Kikar HaYarden is a big valley with five cities on one place over there. And over there are five cities. One of them is called Sodom. One of them is called Amora. And Tzvoim. And there's other cities. Altogether, there's five cities. And these cities, each one has a king who's a little king. Only the king of a city. And even though they have their own kings, but the kings of those cities have to listen to the big king, Kedar La'omer. And what means listening to the big king? Once a year, for example, the Melech of Stoim, the king of Stoim, whose name was Bera, he has to pay a big bag of silver and gold to Kedar La'omer for taxes. He has to get the money together, and he has to send it to the palace of Kedar La'omer to pay Kedar La'omer money. And that way Kedar La'omer will take care of Stoim, and if it needs anything, he'll send it, or he'll protect it with his armies. Or just because Kedar La'omer wants the money and he says, you've got to pay, the king of Stoim and his people have to pay. And Amora had a king named Birsha. And Birsha once a year had to pay money to the king Kedar La'omer in order that Kedar La'omer should take care of his city. Or just because Kedar La'omer wants that money to make parties and have fun and buy toys for himself. And so, Kindalach, any laws that Kedar La'omer says, the people have to listen to. Or whatever he says, that's what they have to do, because Kedar La'omer was the big king, and the five kings was only the little kings. And also, the friends of Kedar La'omer, Amraphel, and Sid'al and Aryeh were also very big kings that the five kings had to listen to. So there was four big kings and five little kings. And Kindalach, for 12 years, the first 12 years that Kedar La'omer was the king of Stoim every year paid his bag of gold, and every year he would listen to Kedar La'omer, and so would Birsha, and so would the other kings. Whenever it came time to do something, they did it. Whatever Kedar La'omer said, they listened to it, they paid the money. But then they said like this, who needs Kedar La'omer? What does he do for us? He builds us a road, he builds us a bridge, he paints the buildings, he sends over here workers to clean the streets or anything. He sends his garbage men. What does he do for us? Garnished. He takes our money. He makes parties. He buys toys for himself. And finished. And we never hear from him. All we do is pay every year gold. And he does nothing for us. So, you know what? For the next year, we're not going to pay no gold. We're not going to pay no silver. And if he makes a law and the soldiers bring it, we're going to tear it up and put it in the garbage can. We'll do whatever we want. Who needs Kedar La'omer anyway? He never comes over here. He doesn't care. He just wants money to buy things he likes, food and ice cream and toys. And the next year, Kindalach, when Kedar La'omer sent his soldiers for the gold, they said, oh, come back next week. We don't have it right now. And the soldiers went back. And they didn't come back again. They forgot to come back. And when they came back later on, so the king said, well, don't you remember we paid it? You forgot? And the soldiers said, ah, we don't remember. And then, if they made a law, they tore it up. And they made tricks. And they made maislach. They didn't pay the gold. One year after the other, they didn't pay anything. They didn't listen to Kedar La'omer. And this went on for 13 years. 13 years, never once did they listen to Kedar La'omer. And when the soldiers would come back and tell Kedar La'omer, you know, the king of Stoim and Amora and the five kings, they're not paying you anything. And they're making tricks in Maiselach. And they're tearing up laws. Tatai Laimer was usually shikar. He said, ah, forget it. I don't need the money anyway. I got so much money. What do I need their money for? Oh, maybe next year I'll go over there and get the money myself. And he kept pushing it off. And for 13 years they made chutzpah. And for 13 years Gdol Emer didn't do anything. He didn't really care. He didn't need the money so much. He was rich anyway. And that's it. Now Kenelach Gdol Emer says like this. I've got a very good excuse over here to be able to kill Avram. I'm going to make a trap and a trick, and I'm going to use the five kings as an excuse. Now listen to the trick. Here is the trap and the trick that they're going to capture Avram. Gdol Emer says like this. Living in Stoim is Avram's nephew Loit. Loit is the son of Avram's brother Haran. And he moved over there to Stoim because he wants to spend his money and have a good time, make parties, and just live like the people of Stoim. Now, if we go to Stoim and we are going to make a war with the five kings, one of them being the king of Stoim and all of his friends that live over there in Kikar HaYarden, then if we make a war, we are going to take Loit as a prisoner of war, and we'll put him in the jail of prisoners of war. Now for sure, Avram is going to find out, and Avram is going to run after Loit in order to capture Loit back, to get him back. Because one of Avram's mitzvahs is called Pidyon Shavuim. Pidyon Shavuim means getting back prisoners that were taken prisoners. Now Gdol Emer was smart and tricky, and he knew Avram's things that went on with him. And he says, look, we have a good reason to make a war with the five kings, because they have not paid taxes and they have not listened for 13 years. They have not done anything they're supposed to do according to the law for 13 years. And they've made chutzpah for 13 years, all of them. And according to the king's law, anybody who goes against the king has to die. And now I choose to carry out the law and make a war. And all the people, even the people that like Avram, when they see what I'm doing, they'll think the king is doing according to the law of the king. People that don't listen to the king's laws and pay taxes and listen to what he has to say have to be punished. And so the king is doing according to the law by making big armies and going against the five kings. Now really, Gdol Emer doesn't care about the whole thing. All he wants to do is capture Loit and make a trap for Avram, that Avram should try to get Loit back. What's going to happen when Avram tries to get Loit back? He's going to have to fight the four kings himself. And according to the law, the four kings took a prisoner. And if Avram has to get them back, he's going to have to fight to get them back. What happens if one side fights another side? Then you're allowed to fight and you're allowed to kill. That's the law of war. If Avram comes against us in a war, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to kill Avram. And when we kill Avram, nobody will complain against us, because we did according to the law of fighting a war. Because Avram came with a war against us, and we made a war according to the law. It's a perfect trick. And there's no way Avram would ever win a war with us, because we have thousands and thousands of soldiers. And who does Avram have? A bunch of yeshiva bacharim?
Yeah.
A bunch of kids?
Yeah.
They could never fight us. It's like a tiny, tiny ant going against a gigantic giant. Nothing will ever be able to get us because we have the strongest armies. Shh. And so Kindalach, the four kings got together their best generals and big gigantical armies, thousands and thousands of men and weapons and war elephants and spears and arrows and bows. And they started to march to go to war against the five kings. And on the way, whoever was in their way, they made a war with them just to warm up, just to practice. And even against the giants that were in those times, called the Rephaim, they made a big war and they killed a bunch of giants. And only the big giant Oig escaped. And Oig ran away while the four kings went weiter making their wars. Until finally they came to Stoim, and they came to Amoira and the other cities, and the people woke up one morning and they saw thousands of soldiers coming down the mountains, and they got so scared they ran away. The five kings ran away, the people ran away, and the four kings came down very fast and chased after them. First they came into the houses and they stole all of their things. They took all of their gold and silver. They took all of their things, what was in their house, their furniture, and all of their nice dishes, and all of their things, and watches and jewelry. And they went to the refrigerators. Well, there wasn't refrigerators. They went to where they kept the food. They stole all the food. And this was Mida Keneged Mida. Did the people of Stoim ever share their things with anybody? Or they kept everything for themselves? They kept everything for themselves. In the end, what happened? They lost everything because they kept everything for themselves. Did the food they give to Orachim, or they ate it up all themselves? And what happened to their food? They got all of it taken away from them because they wouldn't share it. According to the Teda, a person that shares gets a bracha for more. A person that keeps everything himself loses everything. Like the people of Stein. Shh, he left already. And so, kiddies, the four kings ran after them and they captured prisoners and they made sure to get Loit. And they captured Loit and took him as a prisoner and locked him up in chains. And Oig, the giant who ran away, who was very tall, saw everything happen. He saw all of this happen. And Oig went to Avram to run and tell him. And he said, Avram, I just saw a terrible thing and I want to do a good thing and tell you about it. I want to help you. I want to do a mitzvah. I just saw the four kings made a big war against the five kings, and they went into Stoim and they went into Loit's house and they put him in chains. And they took him to a prisoner. And Avram, isn't it a mitzvah for you to go to Pidyon Shvuyim and run after Loit to save him? So please, don't waste any time. Loit is in danger. Now the question is, why should Oig, who was a big giant and also a big rasha, why is all of a sudden he's such a big tzaddik all of a sudden? Is Oig really doing a big mitzvah and is a big tzaddik? All of a sudden he became such a goody-goody giant? And Kinalach, like it says in Tanya, the chesed of the goyim could be or is chatos as an aveda. Even sometimes when a goy is nice, or even it could be all the time when goyim are nice, it's not because they want to be a nice. It could be they want something for themselves only. And not, they're not doing it for Hashem. Now, how does that work? Oig wanted to marry Sarah, Avram's wife. She was very beautiful, and Oig wanted to marry her. Now, could he marry her if she's married to Avram?
No.
She cannot get married, and she would not get married to this guy, Oig, and Oig knows that. So Oig says, I'll also be smart over here. If Avram is not alive anymore, and Sarai is not married to Avram, so then I could marry Sarai. And how could it be that Avram wouldn't be alive? He'll run after the four giants to get back Lot. And the four giants for sure will kill him. And then I can go marry Sarai. So that's why I'm telling Avram about the whole thing, to make a trap for him, that I should get to marry Sarai. Do you understand, kind of, look what's happening over there? There's a few traps over here. Oigi is making a trap, and the four kings are making a trap. And Avram right away ran into the yeshiva. And over there we're learning 318 boys. And he says to the boys, close the chumashim, and close the gemaras, and close the mishnayis, because now we are going to do a different shlichus for Hashem. Before we were learning for Hashem, and now we're going to go fight for Hashem. We have a mitzvah called Pidyon Shvuyim. Everybody is going to take weapons, and we're going to run after the four kings to get back Lot. And the boys started to shake. The four kings, they're the greatest, most powerful kings in the world. Oi, we're scared. How can we go fight against the four kings? Avram says, the four kings are only the four kings, but we have a much greater king who's a one king, and he is going to be the king that's going to help us, because we are fighting for him, doing his mitzvah. We're fighting for Hashem. Who is stronger, the four kings or Hashem?
Hashem!
Hashem is stronger. Don't be afraid. And Avram said to Eliezer, his servant, let's get going right away. And Eliezer and Avram and the 318 boys in the yeshiva got their things together and ran out to go against the thousands and thousands of soldiers of the four kings. And they put their trust in Hashem, that when you do something for Hashem, you go lachatchila riber, and you don't worry about exactly what's going to happen. You know Hashem will help, sometimes in a way you never dreamed He would help. And all they know is they're going with Avram, the tzaddik, and they're going to do a mitzvah for Hashem. And they ran, and they ran, and they ran through the night. And finally, they caught up to the four kings. And the four kings in the moonlight could see all of a sudden this army of little boys coming. And the tzaddik Avram with his long beard, and Eliezer. And they see this army coming to them. And they start to laugh. That's a good joke, this. Look, Avram's coming. The tzaddik who sits and learns Torah with the boys. And they think they're going to fight the greatest kings of the world with the greatest soldiers, the strongest goyim. And they're going to make a fight with us. What a good joke this is. And Kedar LaOmer was excited. Hey, now is the time to kill Avram. And Nimrod was excited. Amraphel, now is the time to get Avram. I've always wanted to kill him. After he embarrassed me by going into fire and coming out alive, and with that dream of the egg and the bird on my head, and always people liking Avram and throwing the getchkolach in the garbage, and I see my getchkel in the garbage can with mushy bananas all over it and flies. Now is my time to take nekame on Avram. And they said to the soldiers, every soldier take one arrow, put it in your bow, and shoot on the count of three. And so, kiddies, every soldier, now this is thousands and thousands of soldiers, took an arrow, and they said, one, two, three. They shot the arrows, and it made a gigantic cloud of thousands of arrows in the air. and it started to come down, heading for the boys, Eliezer and Avram. And the Kinelach started to say, what are we going to do? There's nowhere to run. There's so many arrows. Avram said, we're going to say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And Hashem will help us. And they scream, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And the arrows fell down to the ground. But on the way down, each arrow turned into a little piece of dust, or like a little piece of sand, and it fell down. And because their eyes were closed, saying the Shema, it didn't even go into their faces or the eyes. It fell down, and it kind of tickled.